I didn't know Zig. I just bought his book. It was May the 5th of that year that I decided. And so I started teaching my students. I took that book, Biscuits, Fleas, and Pumpkins, to the Board of Education and said, could I teach this book? Can you imagine? If I can sell that to a board, you can sell anything. They were probably in such shock and embarrassment that I'd ask them, and they let me teach it. And I called it I Can Unlimited. And I taught it for three quarters. I taught the same kid, and some kids got three. I got called I Can Unlimited, Success and Development and something else, Personality Development, something. And I taught it, and I saw what happened to my kids. And I thought, you know, I'm on to something. Zig knew it. And I wrote the course and sent it to him for free. I just sent it to him. I said, you need a course. People in Georgia started hearing about it. And so then in 1978, after I'd had my third child, and the summer, our school was in a big scandal. And Zig kept trying to get me to come to work for him. And I said, Zig, I don't want to work. I want to live in South Georgia. My mama, I look after. And then in 1978, our school was in a big scandal. I taught for a school that had 1,600 kids in it. There's somebody here that knows about that school because they're from Moultrie, Georgia. But and that summer, our superintendent was indicted and sent to federal penitentiary. And our school principal quit and went to a mental hospital. And 17 teachers quit. So we kind of had a mess. And the Board of Education called me on August the 8th that year. I had three babies under 4 years old. I was a Mary Kay director. I drove a pink Cadillac. I taught Sunday school. I looked after my mama, and I taught. I mean, just to give you a little bit, y'all know how busy you are. That's how busy I was. They called me to come to see what, and so I went down to the Board of Education to see what they wanted, and they said, I thought they wanted me to make cookies for the beginning of school. You know how they have a reception? So I thought, I guess they've heard that I'm a good cook, and they want me to make cookies, so I went to see what they wanted. I walked into that boardroom, and there sat those seven men around that table. I said, hey, how are y'all? And they said, we're fine, Ms. McCullough. I said, we understand you're the I Can lady. I said, I sure can. What y'all want me to do, chocolate chip peanut butter? And they said, no. Ms. McCullough, we didn't want you to make cookies. I said, you don't. What y'all want then? They said, we want you to be principal of Central High School next year. I said, me? Listen to me, folks. Don't tell me that you know, I Can is really based. When they call me the I Can lady, I want you to know it means Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they said, we understand you're the I Can lady. And I said, I sure can. And, you know, the Bible even says, do not answer a question before it's asked. But I said, sure, I can, what y'all want, you know. Well, they told me they wanted me to be principal. Now, you have to understand that 75 people that I knew had already applied for that job, certified for the job. I was not certified. You hear me? I was not certified of administration. This was a school of over 1,600 kids, 140 faculty. And here they were asking me when I didn't ask for a job, wasn't certified for a job. And thirdly, I'd never been a coach. In Texas, you got to be a coach to be a high school principal. Isn't that right? I love coaches. Don't misunderstand me. But everyone I'd ever had been a principal. So that's what started. And Zig Ziglar kept talking to us until we came. And Zig and I and Jean, his wife, we're like brothers and sisters. I worked for him for 10 years. We co-teach a Sunday school class on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. If you're ever in Dallas at Prestonwood Baptist Church, it's at 8 o'clock. And we have 500 to 800 in our Sunday school class every Sunday morning. And it's called the Encouragers class, by the way. So, you know, this, don't tell me attitude doesn't work, because attitude does. Harvard University made a study that said 85% of the reason we get and keep jobs is attitude, 15% skill. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Where people don't understand things about attitude is kind of like, they don't want to go to, you know, church to me in Dallas is that shot that I need every week. You know, I'm scared I don't want to miss my church. I'm afraid they're going to have something without me. I want to be there to vote. I want to be there to give my money. I want to be there. I don't want to miss a thing. Now, I know that a lot of times people don't feel about their churches like I do. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. It would scare me to death if I thought about raising three children without raising them in the church. And my children, when Don died that night, I sat there and I thought, what am I going to do with these three kids? And you know what? I said, I'm going to raise them like my mama raised me. She raised us with basic education. She said, work hard, stay clean, go to church and love others. And that's pretty basic. And I thought, if my mama can do it with nine, I can certainly do it with three. And I think you ought to be in a good, positive church, because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. All these little cliches and adages and things, you know what? They come out of the Bible. Read Proverbs. A lot of the things that we say, train up a child, all these things, they're in the Bible. We didn't make them up. Zig Ziglar didn't, nor Vincent Peale didn't, or anybody else did. And it came out of the Bible. And I will tell you, you have to do something to stay motivated. I mean, sometimes you just got to fake it. You just got to smile. And I have a brother that said, you're just not real. I said, you just smile everywhere you go. And he said, sometimes it's not, I bet it even in real. I said, you're right, it's not real sometimes. But I said, he said, it's insincere is what he said. He said, I just hate to see that insincere smile you and Martha Ann have all the time, just smiling at everybody. I said, well, I'd rather see an insincere smile than a sincere grouch, hadn't y'all? Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something. You've got to work at it. You have got to work. You ought to go to everything like this that you have. I don't care how far you have to go or what you have to do to go. You need it. And I'll tell you, these people say, oh, I wouldn't go when a speaker said. I went to see one time. Didn't last long. Well, they're right. I took a bath yesterday. And it didn't last long. But I'm not against bathing, are y'all? Now, so you got to do something. If you want to smell good, you got to bathe every day. Has that been y'all's experience up here? I mean, I got to bathe sometimes twice a day. It is hot summer and change of life and everything. So, I saw the cutest cartoon the other day. This is the only thing I'm going to tell about this. It said, you know, 9 lives wouldn't be bad, but if I had to go through menopause 9 times, forget it. But you know, whether it's attitude, we eat 3 times a day, we sleep every night. Why don't you think you have to do something about your attitude? You have to. And I want to tell you something. And I was telling Mary and them that I have a ritual that I go through every day before I speak. I spend 2 to 3 hours on every speech you ever make. And Mary's heard me. How many times have you heard me, Mary? Bless her heart. I want y'all to know that Dr. Mary Allen, right here, stand up, Mary. I want everybody to know she's my friend. She has spent almost 35 years teaching school in Cameron University in Lawton, Oklahoma. And I want to tell you something. Dr. Mary Allen was the first person that ever paid me a salary to speak, and she did not know that I didn't charge. And she said, she called me on the phone. She'd never met me. She just heard about me, and she said, this was 1981. She called, and I'd just gone to work for Zig, and I didn't want to be a speaker, and she just heard about me, and she called, and she said, we were supposed to have Dr. Joyce Brothers here this weekend, tomorrow, Friday. This was like a Wednesday, and she said, she has laryngitis, and I hope you don't mind being second choice, but we need you. And I was starting to say, honey, I couldn't do that. I couldn't replace Dr. Joyce Brothers. I mean, she's a professional speaker. And when I was kind of stammering around trying to tell her something, she said, oh, by the way, we just have $1,500 to pay you. And then I was too embarrassed to tell her I didn't charge, so. So I said, yes. She said, oh, by the way, that's going to have to include expenses. I said, yes. Now, you have to understand. The first paid to me, I tell you what, and Zig Ziglar wasn't even making about $750, $1,000 then, and I couldn't wait to get back to the office and show him my check. I tell you what, that was God in that. And we have been, through the years, she met Don, she knew my husband, and through the years we've kept up. But in the last about 4 or 5 years, we've become real close again because of a lot of things. You know, when your children get up where they can drive and all, you need friends to prop you up. And but anyway, I want to tell you something. I have 3 kids. They're positive. Isn't that right, Mary? My kids are positive. And I want to tell you, they are because of what the Bible says. You've got to claim that word. I want to encourage you all every day of your life. If you didn't know what to read, if you want to become positive, I'm going to encourage y'all to get into the Word. Every day of my life, I try to read the proverb for this day. I got this morning, read the 24th proverb. And it's amazing to me, and I read it out loud. And I know, and I take the Gideon Bible when I travel, when I'm on the road, I take the Gideon Bible. Now, when I'm at home, you know, everybody has a favorite Bible. This is my favorite Bible. When I was growing up, my mama wouldn't let us write in the Bible. And so, of course, I do that. Thank you. Just cleaned up my mess. I just kind of fell apart there, didn't I? But I write in it, and I read this, and I read it out loud, because I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe the devil cannot read your heart. He just knows what we say out loud. So I want him to know who I'm going to serve today. And one of those little plaques in the wall, it says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Nobody has ever made any more mistakes than I have, and nobody's felt any worse than I have felt. But you know, it gives me strength when I get up in the day, and I said, Lord, this is your day. And Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just being available. God doesn't worry about the ability. He's concerned about the availability. And you know, God doesn't need us to do anything. But what our goal should be is for him to use have things done to his glory through us. And I think that when I learned to do that is when my life, things started happening. I've had to work at being positive. It's not something that just happens. And I want y'all to know that. That people that are positive because they make a decision to be positive. Do you understand? You make a decision to be positive or negative. And the scriptures, and there's a lot of them, did you know that they say that the power of life and death is in the tongue? Is in the tongue. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Y'all ever heard that? But bitter words will make your bones brittle and you'll dry up. There's a group of people out here that I don't have much patience with. It's what I call the sit, the soak, and the sour group. They sit, they soak, and they sour. And they say, ah, life is so boring. Well, let me tell you something. Follow me around a day or two and I will give you something that you will wish for boredom. I have a list at my house when my children used to growing up saying, I'm bored. I said, that's good. Look at number 12. Clean out under the house. Take the grates out. And I had a bored list. And it was so terrible that they have never said they're bored around me. Fear does wonderful things for children. I believe in fear. I use a little bit of it. Positive mental attitude. Some people say, well, you know, that's a lot of that is just fluff. It may be. But I tell you what, I think we ought to try to be the kind of people that we enjoy being around. And I get down. And you know what? When I get down, you know what's wrong with me is I'm tired. And Satan will attack you. Yesterday, coming down here, I cried. I got in the back of that car. And bless the little Herschel's heart, he turned around. He said, let me tell you something. You don't ever have to make another speech. Did you know that? I will send your kids through college. You don't have to worry. You don't. And I said, well, just let me cry a little bit. You know, men don't know what to do with a crying woman. Does y'all's? No. I mean, it just throws them off, you know. What can I do? You need something? No, ain't nothing you can slap on, stick on, nothing. Just let me cry. And, you know, it's when I'm down, it's when I'm tired, and Satan strikes then. And that's when we're the most vulnerable. But let me tell you something. Satan ain't going to win my life. Is he going to win yours? No. That's a good no. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of things you can do to stay up. For instance, green. The color green is the color of hope and growth. When I sign the books, you know I sign in green. And I do that. The reason I have that dot is because everybody that is made has a... Did you know you have a designer genes? G-E-N-E-S. You're the only one with your genes. And on you should be a label that says made by God. I don't have the label, so that's why I put the green dot on different people that went in my seminar this morning. That reminds you that you're special, that you're the only ones that have those genes. You're the only one with those abilities and capabilities. Now, I don't know whoever said, we've been lied to. Did y'all know that? People have told us an untruth sometime. One of them is, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but what? The power of life and death are in the tongue. Let me tell you something. I don't know why it is. I have 19 scars on my left leg. Does anybody grew up in a big family like I did where they tried to kill you? Did y'all? They didn't like me. I was a little one. They'd throw me out in the creek and say, swim. Let's see if she can swim. Well, of course I learned to swim. That's how I learned to swim. I mean, it's life or death. And they'd throw me over the horse and over this fence. And I just got all these scars on my left leg. I mean, I got some big ones. Look at here at that one. I mean, there's a dent in there. I mean, a whole dent in my leg. If God had not wanted me to grow up, I would be dead from all the rusty needles and haystack things, and you know I got into. But Mama, you know what she did? And this sounds gross to you young women. We would let the dog lick it and put cobwebs in it to stop. Do y'all remember that? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you know. God had a plan for my life or I would never have gotten grown. We could not afford to go to the doctor. And some of those old remedies that we used to do a long time ago, you know what? They're putting them in the health books now. It's interesting how they're calling them. Talking about heal ourselves and all this kind of stuff. Well, all this stuff started in the country, if y'all don't know it, you city folks. The hot tub didn't start in the city. It started in the country. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But words are so vitally important, and we need to watch our words. And our words should be words that says, let no evil communication come from our mouths. Murmurings, you know, avoid murmurings. There's a lot of, the Bible has it all in there. Well, I like to make homemade lemonade. Do y'all know what homemade lemonade is? That's when you take those whole big old yellow lemons. I got some in California several years ago, and I couldn't wait to get home because I'm the only person in my neighborhood that makes homemade lemonade. The kids gather around the summer. If I'm home, they know I'm going to make lemonade, and I always put cherry in it. You know, I always kind of overdo everything. Mint, and I know they make fun of it, but you know, I just put all that stuff in it. And they must like it. They keep coming back every year. But I take those little big yellow lemons and I roll them out because my mama said do that. So I roll them out on that cutting board. Then I put them in the microwave for about a minute because mama said do it. And then I take them out and I roll them some more. They're supposed to be soft, I guess. Is that what they do? Just get soft to juicy? Well, she told me to do it, so that's what I do. Then I take my knife and I cut those lemons on that cutting board and that juice just rolls down all over my counter. What's happening to your mouth? It's watering, isn't it? See, you do not see a lemon. But what I just did, there's nothing about me yellow. What I did is paint a picture of a lemon in your mind, and your body responded to it. You know what? Our body responds to words. If you go around saying, I'm going to be depressed, you're going to be depressed. No wonder if you talk about it all day, you're going to be depressed when you go to bed at night because you have told everybody that would listen to you, you were depressed. And if you're mad or if you're something happened to you, if somebody said something to you, if you tell everybody, because words are very important. As I told y'all this morning that there are some words that I want you to take out. The first word I want you to take out is the word can't. How many of you were in my last session this morning? Can't isn't a word. I have a little remedy for that. I want y'all to take this in the interest of time. Pick up one of these when you're gone. This is put that on a tin can, an empty soup can. That's an I can, by the way. Now, the second word, most negative word in the English language is diet, and I told y'all why. I believe in dieting. I believe in diets. I'm on two. I couldn't get enough to eat with one, so I went on two diets. But the word sick and tired. Most of the time, we're not sick and tired. What are we are? We're unmotivated. I want to tell you something. A lot of times, 85% of the people, up to 85% of the people at times that go to doctors do not need medical help. They need an attitude checkup. They need a mental checkup, an attitude. That's because there's a lot of people going around with what we call stinking thinking. That's garbage dump thinking. Be careful of who you associate with. They tell us that, as I said earlier, birds of a feather flock together. According to research on the West Coast, they tell us that one out of every three people is exceptionally bright. They also tell us that one out of every three people is exceptionally beautiful or handsome. Now I want y'all to do something for me. Look to the person on your left. Now look to the person on your right. And if it ain't them, must be me, because it ain't them. You feel better about yourself? Now, let me tell you something. It's true. You need to be around people that are going to pull you up. Don't be around people that are going to pull you down. Be around people that are going to lift you up. Last night, the group that was at the house, I was Judy and them that are such, she's such a wonderful Bible teacher. It's so inspiring to me to be around somebody that knows Bible or knows some other things because I just want to know everything they want to know. And I used to be feel so inferior that I said, Lord, you know, I'm not very smart. I was in the half of the class that made the top half possible when I graduated from high school. So I used to not want to be around real smart people, or I didn't want to be around people that dress better than I do. But let me tell you something. Research is out. If you'll be around people that look better than you do, you're going to look better. If you're around people that look smarter than are smarter than you are, you're going to look smarter. Many times in my life since I began speaking 15 years ago that I was on the stage with people like Norma Vincent Peale and everybody from the Vice President of the United States on to Mickey Gilley. When I was on the stage with those people, I thought, what am I doing here? But you know, God will give you, just like Nehemiah, he anointed him. And I believe God will give you the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom and whatever it takes to do whatever he has given you to do. And that's what we call faith. A lot of people are not faith walkers. And I guess I've walked a lot of faith, been a faith walker in my life. Be careful of the words that you use. Be careful of the people that you associate with. Be around people that do not pull you down. Now, if you're married to somebody like that, all I can say is I'm sorry. But I want to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people that have trouble with their spouses that they never talk to them about the problem. They talk to everybody else, but they never talk to them. I mean, women, I want to tell you something. That's a whole new speech, another speech. But one of our problems is communication. We don't communicate with the people that we love the most. And I want to encourage you to learn to communicate because that's an area that you really need. I want to tell you something about communication, too. Let me see if I have it here. Did you know the word listen and the word silent has the same letters in it? And I want to tell you something. God gave us two ears and one mouth. And the best thing I know, a lot of you have had a time in your life that you wish someone could listen and would not judge you. And that's what the kind of Christian sisters we ought to be. We ought to be able to come to you and say, hey, I have messed up. And you pray with me, and you never, ever tell. And I want to tell you something, folks. Let's be a women. Let's try to be those kind of women that don't gossip. And I told the group this morning that to me, Judgment Day was going to be when St. Peter lined up everybody you'd ever talked about and made you say it to their face. That makes me uncomfortable. Have y'all made up some stuff? I have. I know I did. But let me tell you how I've cured people from telling me gossip. They come and say, I just can't wait. You know how they are. I just can't wait to tell you. Bad news, I mean, it travels fast. Let me just tell you something. I want to tell you something about this pastor's wife. I just want to tell you something. And I want to say, now, wait just a minute. Can I repeat this? And they said, oh, no, don't tell it. And I said, well, don't tell me anything because I tell everything. And they just look at you. Well, I don't. I said, I'll tell it. Now, if you tell me, I'm going to tell it. So if you don't want it told, do not tell me. I want to tell you something. Don't listen to that because input determines output. What goes in comes out. If you plant like a garden, if you plant peas, peas are going to come up. You don't know when they're going to come up and how many. Did you know when you put positives in, positives going to come out sometimes and you don't know when and where? That's why pornography and some of those things are so bad for us, for our image and our attitude. Is you can't fill your mind full of garbage and come out smelling like a silk purse. It just doesn't work that way. How to stay positive? I think one of the ways is give all you got. I think women give sometimes more than all they got. All of you here looking at me know that there's been a time that you worked too hard. As my sister said, I worked long past the time that I was charming. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you just want to stick your tongue out at everybody you come to. But, you know, I'd rather be a person that overdoes than underdoes. And Herschel's always saying, Mamie, you do 120%, honey. How about just 99 and 99%? Well, IBM came out with something, and I thought this was interesting. I could not wait to give this to Herschel. Is 99.9% defect-free good enough? Do you know if it was, there would be 20,000 wrong prescriptions a year? If 99.9 was defect-free was good enough, do you know we'd have 15,000 newborn babies accidentally dropped in a hospital per year? We would have unsafe drinking water 1 hour a month. We'd have no electricity, water, heat for 8.6 hours a year. There would be two short or long landings at airports every day. That is, I'm on one of those. I don't want that. There'd be 500 incorrect surgical operations a week, and there'd be 2,000 lost articles of mail an hour. So, you know, 99.9, ladies, we may have been right all this time. And I think all you can do is all you can do. And listen, you can have anything you want, but you can't have everything you want. And you have to accept that fact. Because I know some of you are just saying, well, I want this, and I want this, and I want that. You've got to decide which you want. How do you stay positive? First, and these are not in any particular order, is that be a person that listens to tapes. Babbie Mason, when she was singing the song, it touched me. So that first song is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I sat there and wept. I was touched by that. We ought to have some music on the background. I want to tell you, I know I was consciously listening to her just a few minutes ago, but when we're doing our work at home, put it on the background. You know, our subconscious mind never sleeps, but our conscious mind does. And don't I could stand up here and prove to you about that. If you want to be positive, attend church. And I want to tell you something, folks. I think you ought to make a decision about how you're going to live. And when I say attend church, there's a lot of people that get up, and I've discovered this. See, being an older parent has its advantages, I guess. I decided that I had to make a decision about how I was going to live and just make it one time and don't keep making it over and over and over again. When we first moved to Dallas, what time did we get out of here? 3:30? Oh, I don't, huh? Well, there's another session. But anyway, I didn't want Don to leave me in that big church with those three kids. They were ages 3, 4, and 5. One Sunday, Don said, I'm going to be gone. You're going to have to take the kids to church. And I'm going to worry. I worry about things. I don't know about y'all. So I started worrying about things about 2 weeks before so I could, you know, have a good worry. So I worried and worried about taking those kids to church. I got back Sunday morning. You know, I was in a snit. Do y'all know what a snit is? So here comes Jennifer walking in the kitchen, little old child, 3 years old. And all that child said was, Mama, have we got to go to church today? And for some reason, she shouldn't have asked me that. Because I said, what do you mean you got to go? You've been going ever since you were born. Why'd you ask me that? Go get your brother and sister. I'm just going to preach y'all a sermon. Now, their father was a psychologist. And had he been alive, he would not have let me do this. But I said, go get them. So they came back. Here were three kids, ages 3, 4, and 6, having no idea what I was going to do. I said, now, in my church, every sermon, you know, has 3 points or a poem. So I said, number one, if it's Sunday, we go to church. Don't ever get here asking, we got to go to church, because we got to go. If it's Sunday, we go to church. So don't ever ask me on Sunday, have you got to go to church? Because if it's Sunday, we go to church. Y'all understand that? They said, yes, ma'am. Number two, I said, if it's a school day, don't ever get up here asking me if you got to go, because I despise people saying that I got to go to school. Sure, you got to go to school. If they're home school up there, you got to go. So don't ever get up here asking me if you got to go to school on Sunday morning, on a weekday, because you got to go. Do y'all understand that? Yes, ma'am. I did not know a poem, so I had to come up with 3 points. So I did 3 things. I said, third thing, don't ever ask me for a motorcycle, because you ain't going to get it. Now, I want to tell you something. None of my children have ever said, Mama, have we got to go to church? Because we made that decision. Young mothers, make that decision when you're going. Say, let's just see then, baby. Let's see what happens. Don't do that. If it's Sunday, you go to church and you make up your mind if you're going to go Sunday school and church and Sunday night, or you just make up your mind. But don't keep people guessing. And be consistent as you can be with that. And school day, just say, honey, if it's school, you go to school. Now, you know, if they're sick or something like that, but you know, that's such a little thing, but there's a lot of people, if you want to be positive, I think you got to make some rules. I just wrote that book on parenting, because a lot of people have never made rules on how they can live. No wonder they're frustrating. When they're at work, they're worried about home, and when they're home, worried about, you know, home, and they're worried about school or whatever it is, you're always traveling. No wonder you're always tired. So you need to make up your mind. I believe with all my heart you need to tithe. If you want to be positive, I think you ought to tithe. I don't know what your Bible says, but I think you ought to give to your church and then your offerings and missions, give who you want to. But I think that you ought to give a tithe, and if you're having financial problems, that's when you ought to start tithing if you don't tithe. Don't wait. You'll never be able to afford it. And folks, turn that money loose. I think you ought to put it in that little envelope and lick that thing, and you just turn it loose to that church. And if you're going to a church where you believe that, and they're your spiritual leaders, if you're not, get out and find you one. Don't sit soaking sour. The biggest thing you can go back and do, and you know what a retreat is to me? It's a time of recommitment. And listen to me, you don't need an overhaul, you just need a tune-up. So I'm going to give you some little things here that you can go home, and I want to encourage y'all to tithe. It's never too late to start. I cannot tell you the rewards from tithing. You can't outgive God. And I want to tell you something, He cannot fill your hand with your hand clenched. You got to empty it, and He's going to fill it back. He's going to empty it, and He's going to fill it back. I'm telling you, it works. Does he? Who believes in me? Okay, it works that way. And I'm going to encourage you to tithe to your church and then give to whatever. But I wish I could preach. I wish I could preach. But get a mission. Get you a mission. You find somebody less fortunate than you and you help them. And I want to encourage you to you go home and you find somebody that's your size. And there's somebody in this world your size. And you say, I have some clothes that I don't wear anymore. They're perfectly good. Would you come by my house and try them on and see if they'll fit? Let me tell you something. We have a friend, Dr. Betty Spillman. I bring her to my house 2 times a year. She's about this tall. You would look at her and you'd think she could never wear anything of mine. She can almost wear everything but straight skirts of mine. And she can take something that I just bought it and just didn't like it or got tired of it. You know how it is? She looks like a fashion plate. And I want to tell you something. The biggest blessing I do is dress her. Let me tell you something. She does some things. She has this ministry for helping kids that have been thrown away and abandoned. I want to tell you something. Nothing does me any more good than to help her and to encourage her. You see, I couldn't do the work she does, but I can encourage her to do the work she does. I think everything good in our lives, the only payback we can ever give is pass it on to somebody else. And when I give a clothes or when I send, there's the 2 preachers' wives, one in North Carolina and one in West Virginia, and I send them some clothes from time to time. See, I want to tell you something. Those people need encouragement. And I cannot ever repay enough for me having enough clothes that I can give them away. I'll never sell anything I ever have. I've had some of these secondhand shows, stores to try to buy my clothes. I said, nope, I give mine away. There's not enough money to anybody to pay me for what I have. And, you know, it's a payback to my mama. It's a payback to my mama. So I want to encourage you to get into a mission. Get involved in something that's bigger than you are. And I want to tell you something. You can never pay back the people that help you. That's not the way God wants it. You see, I drove up here from Texas on roads I didn't build. I ate an apple last night from a tree. I didn't plant that tree. Drank water from a well I didn't dig. But my job is to pass it on. And I help this one, and that one helps somebody else, and that one helps somebody else. Pass it on. All right, learn to communicate. This judge, Zig Ziglar has a brother named Judge. I don't know how we communicate, but oftentimes it's wrong. He travels, he speaks, he did, done anymore. He'd been on this long speaking trip, and he was tired. He had his raincoat and his briefcase. He got off on this plane in Indianapolis. If you've ever been to Indianapolis, you know they have a Mrs. Fields chocolate chip factory right across from the gate on American Airlines. I think they take a big fan and just blow that smoke. Just blow those cookies. You know how good they smell? I mean, you want the whole pan. You don't want one. You want the whole pan. So Judge Ziegler went over and bought him five cookies. He went over and sat down. And he reached over to get him a cookie, and there was a lady that had come and sat in this other seat. There was one of those little things here, kind of island things, you know, between the seats. And so he noticed she got one of his cookies. He looked at her, and he reached in and got one and took a bite from it. She looked at him, and he glared at her, and he thought, the very idea. Well, she reached in and got another cookie. And he looked at her, and he reached in and got another cookie. And he thought, this is just terrible. Well, it was just one cookie left. She reached in and got the last cookie. He just reached on and got the sack and just poured the crumbs in his hand and just ate it. You can imagine what he was communicating. Her plane was called, and she left. He thought, thank goodness. Glad I just had five. Well, his plane was calling. He reached and picked up his coat and his briefcase, and under his coat was his bag of cookies. Sometimes we think we're dead right, but we're wrong. And you know how I think we best teach anything, whether it's attitude or values and things, is we got to walk the talk. You know what I think our young people need more today than ever is people that are going to do what they say they're going to do. Don't have a double standard with kids. They can read you. That's why I hope and pray that I always have kids. When I leave, I'll probably move some more in or something. I'm going to always look after kids and have them around me, because I want to tell you something, they'll keep you from jumping the fence, as Jerry Clower says. I want everybody to take your hand and make a little circle. Everybody got your circle? Now, if you were in Texas Aggie, that would be Thursday, Mary. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But she loves Aggie. See, I have an Aggie, so I can do that. Now, I want you to take that circle and put it on your chin. For those of you that don't know where your chin is. Now, I didn't see anybody, I promise you. But if you're normal, you did what I did. Did you do what I did? You see, I want to tell you something. When you tell these kids, don't you take drugs, and we go out and we light up a cigarette, or we take a drink, or we take a tranquilizer, what are we doing? We are double standard, folks. And you know what? You know how stupid you felt? Because you know what I said, but you did what I did? That's how they're seeing you. Let me tell you something. Albert Schweitzer said, I saw his life story on TV the other night. It was always heartwarming. But Albert Schweitzer says, we teach by three ways, by example, by example, by example. Jesus Christ came to this world as the best example. You cannot improve on his life. And I think that ought to be our prayer. If you want to be positive, if you want to be able to communicate in any area of your life, Jesus Christ is the answer. You know, maybe I think these times is recommitment. As I said, you don't need an overhaul. Maybe as we go back home, we can say, hey, I want to listen better. Maybe I need to stop and listen, because so much goes on in houses, in our homes. And I'm going to tell you, I have a rule at my house. At supper, nobody leaves till everybody finishes. I've had that rule forever. And my kids sit around the table and talk. And it's because I made that rule 10 years ago. And let me tell you something. That's when I ask questions like, I eat real slow sometimes, so I'll find out things. I said, you know, I heard somebody say on so-and-so, they'd read about something. Whatever it is that I want to ask them about, I'll ask it at the supper table after we finish eating. And it's amazing what those kids will tell you. I have an open communication with my children, and it's because I've worked at it. I call my kids every night that I'm away from home. Maybe this is something, and I'm going to close with this, but I just love this. It just tickles me. I think I just want to read it. Yeah, if y'all ever just said something, you just tickle. This is how miscommunication. There was this workman's compensation board that wrote this man and told him that to clarify his claim. How many of you have heard this? Okay. I'm writing in response to your request for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put, quote, poor planning, unquote, as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building on the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up on the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of brick. You will note in Block 11 of the accident reporting form that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Can't you just see this happening? Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping till the fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep into the pulley at the top. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain and broken fingers. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground, and the bottom of the barrel fell out. Devoid of the weight of the brick, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to my weight of 135 pounds. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. Have you ever had days like this? In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the fractured ankles and the lacerations of my legs and body. The encounter with a barrel slowed my descent enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of brick, and fortunately only three vertebrae were broke. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the pile of bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six floors above me, I again lost my presence of mind and I let go of the rope. As you might again suspect, the barrel immediately preceded down the building again, contacting me as I lay in pain on top of the pile of bricks. This accounts for the dislocated shoulder and five broken ribs listed in the accident report. I hope this explains the entry in block number 3 to your satisfaction. Sometimes we have days like that. Sometimes we just think whatever we do, whatever we touch. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you how to keep from drowning is to keep coming up for one more breath of air. Some of you came to this conference trying to coming up with one more breath of air. And you know, God is good. And there is bad times. But you know, like I said this morning, if we never had any rain in our lives would be a desert. Listen to music. Listen to tapes. Read good books. There's a lot of good books here today. Don't you go home, whether it's mine or anybody's. You get some good books to read. And read them. Make them yours. Mark in them. Read good books. Use these symbols. Pick up one of these things. I have a prayer. Request, and what I want you to do is tear off this down here. This is a prayer for you. Tear this off. You read this every day, and I'm going to be praying for you for 7 days. Be sure you get that. Pick up this little card that says, I believe in you. Pass this along to someone. This is my business card, by the way, but I want to encourage you. If I could do it, I would put everybody's name, your name here, and then sign it my name. But I want to encourage you to do it for someone else. Maybe I had a friend that had a child that went to a drug rehab center several months ago, and I said her name up here, Melissa, and I said, I believe in you, Melissa. And then I dated it and put my name, and I put it in a little frame and sent it to her. And when she got out, she said, Miss Mamie, you don't know how many days I looked at that and thought, she believes in me. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world and died for our sins, and when he died, he said, I believe in you. I believe in you too.